Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski. How you doing, Henry?
I am hydrated.
That's good. I'm getting hydrated. I'm extremely sweaty. It's hot. Anyway, this isn't a weather podcast.
It is not, because podcast would drive people to suicide.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. Without you, none of this is possible. We love you. Hail yourselves. Today, we are honored to be with Jessica Glazer. She is the lead producer for the podcast The Gateway. We also have the host of the podcast The Gateway, Jennings Brown, joining us. Thank you so much for coming in studio, and thank you so much for talking to us about this fascinating subject of what I'll call an internet phenomenon, Teal Swan.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, Henry, I know you listened to the first episode of The Gateway earlier today. You got a good line of questioning for them here in your brain. What was your thoughts?
Now, I like the idea, because we started talking right before we started recording, the idea of what does it mean to be an internet spiritual guru? Because that's what this is about, right? Because Teal Swan, like, if you want to do like a full-on just breakdown of what The Gateway is and who Teal Swan is.
So I'm a tech reporter for Gizmodo, and I got sucked into it just because, you know, I usually explore just weird, dark corners of the internet, looking for story ideas,
right,
and weird subcultures. And so YouTube is gathering, like, I don't even want to know what they think about me based on my algorithms,
right?
But about a year ago, they started recommending I watch Teal Swan videos.
Okay.
And
they just thought you were sad.
They thought they thought a lot of weird stuff. And it was, you know, I was between jobs. I was dealing with I was getting over a breakup, and I mean, I was in a not great place.
Okay, maybe YouTube was onto something.
I think YouTube was onto something. And they started saying, "Hey, you might want to watch these videos from this internet guru, Teal Swan," and her, you know, she was just staring deep into the screen with these piercing eyes. And finally, I took the bait and I clicked, and I was just transfixed. I mean, and she was just giving this advice, like weird, unusual advice, like unorthodox advice on things like mental health and depression and what to do if you're feeling, if you have suicidal thoughts. And I thought, this is really interesting and weird, and like, I need to look more into it.
Well,
and
Jessica, maybe you can address this also. What was the content? What was the vibe? What was the like draw when you watched these videos that make you think, wow, this isn't just somebody speaking to their computer, hopefully trying to get clicks? How can you have an intimate reaction to something that you just see online, almost like back in the day with Benny Hinn and all these religious leaders, but they would go there, meet them, shake their hands, and do all that stuff?
Yeah.
How does it translate on the internet?
Teal is really, really good at translating that like in-person experience through the screen. Like, being in person with her, if you're a fan of hers, is like a higher level experience, but she's really good at coming through the screen. Like, she stares directly into the camera. She's got these hypnotic backgrounds behind her. She's really beautiful to look at, which doesn't hurt.
Right.
I mean, she talks in this like monotonous voice, so you're like, what exactly is she talking about? She also says everything with like the utmost authority,
right?
And so that's attractive. You're like, oh, this person knows what they're talking about. I want to hear more.
Were you also originally attracted to the videos? Did you see the videos before you started the podcast, before you guys all got together to make the show?
Well, I mean, the first thing, my first introduction to Teal was Jennings talking about the videos, and he was like deep in it at this point, and I like came in to sort of like be a tether to the real world. It was deep. So you
had a friend who got too into something on the internet, or maybe conspiracy thought, and you try to save them on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I don't know what that reminds me of.
This is my role comedically, and it's also my role as a human being. But that's a part of where I think Kissel actually, I'm not going to say missed the point, but the whole point of YouTube, like internet personalities, is because it goes directly to the person. That's the reason why, I mean,
I feel like
podcasts have gotten so big, because a part of it is it's an intimate experience having someone speak directly to you.
Yeah, and I think there's also something more going on with Teal, where we talk to so many people where they find one video and then hours and hours and hours later it's 3 a.m. and they they've been watched. So she's doing something that is like almost addictive.
We went out to Costa Rica to her her retreats, what she calls a retreat center, and it's kind of like a compound or kind of like a spiritual startup where all of her followers are sort of helping her make more content. And she told me, she's like, I use tags specifically for people when they are having suicidal thoughts.
Right.
And when they're depressed.
Because that's a part of where we're at now. So like, okay, so if we're just talking about Teal Swan, there's a lot of quote unquote internet spiritual gurus on YouTube, but what brought us to here now that you made a show about her?
Well, so I, you know, after watching the videos and another big part of it was just, she really has a lot in common with like internet influencers, and that's how she connects with people.
Right.
So it's really sort of in that, I mean, it's not too many degrees off from like the wellness blogs and like Goop and yoga instructors mm-hmm. and stuff. So it was really fascinating what she was doing from like an internet standpoint. But then the more I started looking into it, I started seeing a lot of rumors surrounding her and her controversial views on death and suicidal thoughts. And so, and there were rumors about people who had died because of her influence.
Mm, interesting.
So then that's when things really started to take a turn.
So for you, Jennings, it sounds like you went down the hole a little bit too deep, and then Jessica had to save you. So thank you, Jessica,
for doing that. I appreciate
that. What was
that.
It for you now in hindsight, looking at your own experience? Can you think of one moment where you're like, wow, this is really compelling, this is really interesting, and then the moment maybe you snapped out of that?
Our views on this evolved a lot. Like, especially, our other producer, Emily Pontecorvo, got in, and like we all had like differing views on, because you know she really puts a compelling argument for, you know, why she does what she does, and she, you know, she talks about these things without shame, and like in a time when people aren't talking about mental health. And so we started to see some of the benefits of this, and mm-hmm. and so we were really wavering all over. I guess so the question was, like, for me, I think when we were out there, when we were out in Costa Rica, and I saw like how in deep a lot of these people were,
right.
and how they were, a lot of them were working, they were just volunteers just working for, and they'd given up their lives behind, and it made me wonder what they were leaving behind, and like, and you know, a lot of them are uncovering new things about their childhood, like trauma and abuse,
yeah.
and you know, so that's making it harder for them to go back to their families once they're uncovering
right.
these new things. And so they're, you know, they maybe are losing their support group.
So was there a chance that you would have just stayed in Costa Rica? Like, could it have gone either way?
I think at that point I knew a little too much.
Okay.
I'd done more reporting than most of those people probably didn't ever do.
Well, right. She has no actual official training for like helping people with mental health issues, correct? Or am I wrong?
She has no worldly accreditation. No.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's not a licensed therapist, and she doesn't have a psychology degree or a sociology degree. She has none of that.
She can access the Akashic records, and...
I forgot about that. You can just... Because you can do that a lot. It takes quite a bit of... I'd say sativa is a really good strain to really connect to the Akashic records, and
right.
then you'd need it, but then they also get some shatter in there, like those Diablo
oh,
joints
my
you
goodness.
Bought me in. Because I'll read a lot of different records just for hours, just feeling them. And now, how much
right.
did the retreat cost?
It's $5,000 for if you want to live on your own, or $4,200 if you want to share a space with other people.
Including airfare.
We should do this.
You want to join?
Can. I think you can.
No. I mean,
think they're actively looking for members.
No, I'm saying the four of us make a retreat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And charge people to come to it.
Yeah, we'll call it Birkenstocks. It'll be like a ripoff of sandals, and it'll be horrible for everyone that comes. But we already got their money.
Fantastic.
It's perfect.
Where do you think her advice got deadly? Do you think that, or do you now directly, because how much longer, you're going to, basically the gateway is investigating kind of where her talking points took the left turn towards maybe causing some suicides. Like, do you really feel that she is directly to blame for some of these suicides, or is it just that the idea of the negligence and how she speaks in confidence, and then how much confidence people put in her that then kind of cause them to be in a weird psychic, they're out on a limb essentially, like once they realize, when she does that whole like, oh, you got to choose life or not bit.
I think we went into it thinking it would be that simple, and it became a lot more complicated. I mean, obviously, if you are casting this wide net and targeting people who are having suicidal thoughts, like, you're drawing that in. And so, I mean, it's something that it took us like 6 episodes to really unravel it and figure out. So it's mm-hmm. hard to say, you know, succinctly here.
Yeah, I think that like she flirts with this line of, you know, she talks about suicide and mental health without shame. She encourages other people to do that, which draws people in, which is a positive thing.
Right.
And then she, but then she sometimes sort of like crosses this line and does things like encourages suicidal ideation, or like encourages you. There's like this one meditation that we saw in Costa Rica where she encouraged people to imagine their own death from like who found their body. And she suggested it might be suicide, but maybe it doesn't have to be.
Right.
And so there's this like, yeah.
It's crazy. It was a lot. So when do you think, what's the line for you? Because obviously people who are really depressed, they need help, right? But they're also very vulnerable to be preyed upon. And people, there are people actively trying to seek, trying to help people who are in need of help. And then obviously you have a situation where they can, again, be victims of someone who's more predatory. What is the line for you where she maybe stops becoming someone who is trying to be beneficial and someone who is trying to really prey on these people? Or is that line so gray it's hard to even detect?
It's blurry. I mean, what we realize that it really is like for some of these people, there it's kind of a perfect formula of just a lot of factors that I think lead to getting dangerous. I think there's a lot of, I mean, she said herself, she's playing with fire. When I asked her, like, when we were there, you know, we go to the retreat and immediately the first thing they do is a death meditation for 15 minutes. And everybody's just like thinking about it, their death, and they're crying. And this guy sitting next to me is convulsing. And then she had them split off and do exercises based on that. And, you know, and I asked her, like, then she kind of pulls me aside and she's explaining what's going on. And I'm like, you know, how did they get here? And she's saying, well, you know, I use these algorithms. You know, I find tags to, I get use tags to target them, target people who are feeling this
and
way.
What are some of those tags? I was just curious.
She said, I mean, if you look at her YouTube videos, they're like, I want to kill myself, parentheses, what to do if you're suicidal.
Okay.
So there aren't a lot of things that are, you know, I mean, it's really basic SEO. Right. It's not that complicated. But
hashtag easy, hashtag Bobby Bonilla payday, and they get it out. They you really can spread the word.
Another big payday for Bobby Bonilla. I saw you posted that on Twitter, Henry. Congratulations to your favorite athlete.
Yes.
He gets $1 million a year for the next, I think, forever. I don't know. He's anyway, back to the much more serious subject.
But yeah, that's when she said, I was like, it looks like you're playing with fire, bringing all this out here. She's like, yeah, that's what it is, and that's where you get the best stuff, she said. And I think she's so confident in her thing, and it's all these, I mean, obviously it is so much more complicated than that. I mean, she's not taking into account, you know, that mental health is way more complicated than just like trauma that you went through as a child.
Right.
And part of her, I think part of the danger is that, like, so I think she is trying to help people, but I think that she thinks that what works for her will obviously work for every single other human in any other situation, unless they can't possibly be helped. So she's got like one, you know, she's got a number of different sort of like teachings and methods for therapy, but like she is so confident that what works for her will work for everyone else, that there's no danger.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
it's like, Henry, there's a lot of cults like that where if you can't achieve the goals, you failed. So maybe if people actually commit suicide in the cult's mind, or I'm not going to say this is a cult necessarily, quote unquote, perhaps cult, says, oh, they didn't have the capability to do it.
That to me is the part where she gets deadly.
Right.
It's the part where she says there's no way you can be helped.
Yeah, because it means that in her own mind, she's not allowing space for critique and for adjustment.
Yeah. And also it's like, you're a YouTube celebrity. Like, oh, if this YouTube celebrity can't help you, you're doomed. It's like totally crazy.
With one case in particular, one person we focused on, she just said that she just couldn't be helped. That her there's nothing you can do with that frequency.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so if you're sure that they can't be helped, then I guess that kind of absolve you.
Right. Yeah. You did nothing wrong. They couldn't be helped. Nothing you could do.
Do you think she's particularly well cast as a spiritual guru? Because I think there's a lot to gurus in general. Like if you look at when they would talk about for the Rajneesh group.
Oh yeah,
from Wild Wild Country. It's like the Bhagwan was.
Oh yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. What you picture when you see guru, and she's good at it.
There were a few times where we were like, this is almost too on the nose. I mean, the style and in the presentation, like at the end of the retreat, there's a cacao ceremony and, you know, she's wearing this, this flowy dress and she's kind of over this, this pot cauldron thing, making, you know, quickly stirring the pot. And there was a black cat prowling and there were actually bats hanging from the rafters of this cabana.
Really?
It was like, did you like stage yes. this before? Like,
right.
I mean, we walk and the first thing they do is a death meditation and we're almost like, people aren't going to believe us. They're going to think we like edited this out of order, but it was right. it was like straight out of what you imagine in a film of something like this.
What was your vibe walking through there, Jessica, when you guys first got to the place and you're like, it's time for a death mantra?
Oh man. Well, so, you know, they're sitting in this cabana and everyone's in a semicircle facing Teal, who's on this higher wicker chair, and people close their eyes and they're, you know, she's listed all the steps that they have to follow in this 15-minute meditation that they're doing by themselves.
And what are some of those steps?
Also to imagine who found your body, like how did you die? Who found your body? Like what did people post on Facebook afterwards? It's just very granular.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like going around with the mic, but also doing that. Well, also people sitting with their eyes closed, silently meditating doesn't make a lot of sound. Yeah. But people were crying and tearing up and like Jennings said, convulsing, and it was really hot, but you know, you kind of like get this chills feeling.
Mm.
And the music, it was like this very entrancing music, so you couldn't help but sort of get enveloped in that.
Which we actually, Emily, our other producer, found out later that particular song had been studied to promote like meditative state or something like that.
Yeah, it was like they worked with sound engineers to make it a perfectly, you know, I don't know.
Engineer, yeah, I can't remember the specifics.
God,
but
that's such a cool idea, though. You get all this crew in there and you really, really organize it. Take notes for this, Travis, for when we do our retreats.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of this really important is to have set deck.
Well, they said they've had
hand.
A lot of people reach out to them to figure out what they're doing right, because they are like, she's building a spirituality brand in the internet era, and she's very
right.
perfect. She is this blend of the internet influencer and kind of the tropes of the spiritual guru.
Well, you know, I mean,
what makes her different than a like Deepak Chopra? Like, what makes her different than I know they are actually more trained and they've done more reading and they are not just like your hot best friend that's given you advice that essentially says to kill yourself.
Yeah, and like Tony Robbins literally has the doc, I'm not your guru. She really kind of goes the other way with it.
Well, for one thing, I haven't actually compared the numbers, but I think she has more followers than Deepak.
Really?
So she's got
Shit.
That going for her.
But hasn't sold more books, I would assume.
I don't think she sold more books.
Yeah.
But, you know, she is of this, like, this, you know, the follower era.
But he's not like a... He's,
well,
that's
he doesn't
a
try.
Bad
no, but
comparison.
That's what
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, she
yeah, yeah.
really focuses on social media. She focuses on people who are isolated, alone. Mm-hmm. Like, she has a video for people who are addicted to the internet and addicted to porn. And her latest book, which I guess I'm plugging, it comes out in a few months, and it's like the picture is a young woman trapped in a jar, and I think she really focuses on people who are isolated, alone, yeah. you know, and they're having these spiritual awakenings through their screens.
Well, it seems more common than ever.
Yeah, the other thing that she does differently than Deepak Chopra, which I've read some of his books, but I would have to double check that this is true. But she's very more like authentic, quote unquote. Like she curses, she's real, quote, you know, she's
sure.
very much like accessible and real, and she's not putting up a front or so it seems
perceived
on social
front, yeah.
media. So when you watch her social media, when you read her books, you think you're getting really close to her. And I don't think you get the same sense with someone like Deepak Chopra.
Yeah.
She took the Tony Robbins. That's the Tony Robbins
yeah.
approach.
Which
he
actually,
swears.
I mean, her manager used to work for Tony Robbins.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy to think they have managers and agents and maybe repped by CAA or something like that.
I don't think it's that involved, but yeah, that was one of my first surprises, that when I reached out and I got a manager emailed me back and he was like, set up the call and everything.
Wow. So does she tether this to a religious component, or does she sort of stay away from that, and like she allows like Christians or Jews or whoever, can they maintain their religion and still follow her, or do they have to shed that to follow her, or maybe they go there because they've already shed all the religion?
Well, I think she it's pretty all encompassing. She says her idea of a higher power is source, which she says that, you know, God and Allah and everything is actually source. And so I think everything kind of falls into that. But yeah, it's like we all come from source energy, and you know, the Akashic Records, which is, it's a lot of new age ideas that I think were more popular in the 90s. And a lot of self-help stuff that were popular in the 90s that I think she's really repackaging and putting kind of into a meme-y, you know, right, internet influencer way.
She's weaponizing the college sophomore mentality.
Yeah. What did you used to wear? What was the...
Oh, my full... I went through an Afrocentric phase that there's no pictures of, where I had a knit cap and a dashiki and all the shit. It's weed helped.
Yeah, I asked her at one point how she felt about appropriation of, like, all these different cultures, and right, she didn't really follow. I don't think that's been on her radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I guess if you're pulling from source and we're all the same energy, then it's not...
Right,
appropriation.
Right, right.
I don't know.
But it's weird because she is so of the moment in that she's like this social media influencer, but then she like doesn't, like, some of her pop culture references are like Ricky Martin, or like,
oh,
she
love it.
Yeah, or like all of these new age things she's like repopularizing from like the 90s for like a new younger, I mean, her audience is across many ages.
What's the age range, do you think?
I mean, there's lots of teens, and then there's lots of middle. I mean, it's anyone.
Is it legal to just have a teen show up at your retreat in Costa Rica and not go home? Can you just do that? Because it seems like human trafficking.
Costa Rica is the perfect balance. You know, take note for your retreat center. But it's the perfect balance where, like, there's not a lot of regulation. I think you can get away with a lot of these retreats, but there is enough law that it's safe.
Okay.
You can walk around barefoot and doing weird ayahuasca retreats and stuff without. Not that there was ayahuasca there.
But. Okay,
so
that's
before
good.
Before we started the show, we were talking about, like, because you were saying, obviously, hesitant to call it a cult because we don't really know. We don't necessarily. What is exactly the true definition of a cult? Then it gets to kind of this gray area between, like, because essentially they pay to go to Costa Rica and then they're allowed to leave, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and she will say, you know, people can leave whenever they want.
When they can leave, but can they?
I mean, she said a lot of things that, you know, it's like, well, yeah, I mean, they have the free will to, but, you know, once you know, your entire identity shifts to fall in line with that world,
sure.
And but yeah, there were, you know, a lot of people have accused her of that. You know, we have to be careful of that for legal reasons and just because, like, I'm not the authority on that. Like, I think she's kind of, in some ways, she's creating something entirely different that maybe doesn't fit in that definition.
Yeah, at some point, I guess the cult, what we now see, capital C cult, is stuff like the end games of Jonestown, the end games of Onchinrikyo, where there's AK-47s. There's a world-ending scenario that's happening. They normally lead up to an Armageddon thing. Essentially, the narrative of a cult is built up to what would become some, either we're going to commit a violent act or self-destruction where everyone's going to commit suicide, which happens quite a bit. Because essentially, they become one with the mentality of the leader who then decides, like Jim Jones, essentially, like, you don't know. When we covered Jonestown, and a lot of people we spoke to, we're hesitant to call what happened at Jonestown even murder or even a group suicide. It's this weird middle ground where Jim Jones decided to commit suicide and in turn murdered an entire group of people.
Although there were like bent syringes, I think, in some people.
Oh, yeah. No, there was some hesitation.
There was some.
But
it's the gray area of the mentality of you're stuck in a world where your entire identity, your entire life is wrapped around this world. And then for you to get rid of it and you to reject it means you've been wrong about every single thing that you've chosen for years.
And of course, I mean, a lot of these, you know, Jim Jones was a pretty utopian, happy thing. And even Teal, there's a video where it's called False Prophets, where she's talking about false prophets, as she says. And in it, she says, you know, Jim Jones, I don't want to quote her, I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's something along the lines of, you know, he didn't think he was trying to hurt people. He thought he was trying to help them. Which, you know, I don't want to take it out of context, but it sounds kind of like a Jim Jones apologist, you know, almost. It's like a, and so as I was driving to the compound, I mean, I had some of these fears because, you know, there were a lot of things that are almost too on the nose, like the death meditation and, you know, with the making the cacao ceremony. And granted, I'm totally out of this world. I'm a total outsider. I think I will get criticized for, like, not fully understanding a lot of these, you know, within the New Age community, very normal things. But to me, it was a little spooky, and it was like everybody was just on this page page that like I didn't understand. And when I asked Teal like how everybody knew about this, she said, well, because they've been watching my videos for years. Like every day I'm in their home for hours.
Right.
And
right.
so they speak the language. They're you know, they understand it all.
Yeah. And I want to hit on what Henry was talking about with Endgame. But before that, because, you know, what is the endgame of this whole thing? But before that, what was the mood like when you showed up? Was there a lot of resistance to having reporters there going back to Jim Jones? He was like a little bit more resistant, or it was like totally chill. You didn't get the vibe of like they want. Did you feel like you were going through North Korea and seeing a bunch of like the best of the best of all the supermarkets that aren't really filled with food, but they pretend to be?
No, I mean, we didn't know what to expect going in. I actually talked to a security consultant beforehand because it was a closed compound. And, you know, we had seen, there were obviously easy comparisons to Jim Jones, fair or not. But once we got there, you know, we drive up and there's a gate, the gate that like slowly opens. And then you're like in this tropical place. And actually, I mean, everyone is super nice. They were very welcoming. I think the participants who were there for the workshop may or may not have totally been told what we were doing. So when I like, you know, we introduced ourselves, they were maybe a little more hesitant just because they were there for personal development.
Right.
But I mean,
well, and Teal's team told us going out, like they said, everybody knows, they all signed non-disclosures. Like we were told like
for filming in general. Yeah.
But yeah, whether or not they knew the full like extent of.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, once we were there, I mean, you know, you're always on like, I was just sort of always observing around me, what was going on, but in some ways, it was just like a normal, like self-help sort of spirituality therapy retreat. I guess if you listen to episode one, you haven't heard the screaming in episode three. That was a little jarring. But
I heard you have a little clip of it in the end of episode one, and it was like, oh, that's just an exercise, which I kind of understand is that because they said the same thing with their Rajneesh.
Yeah,
is that if you on the beginnings of it when they're having group sex and yelling and all that stuff seemed very jarring to people from the outside.
It was certainly jarring for us, at least for me personally. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But you didn't get the sense looking in someone's eyes like the film Get Out when the nurse is just like, you know, and you just know she wants to tell me, like wants to ask for help, but it wasn't like that.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I would say that I want to be. It was clear to me that there are people there who had quit their jobs and lives to be there. And had, you know, were more than willing to answer my questions about, oh, you don't get paid. What about healthcare? What about your retirement fund? And just asking these questions to understand. And they were more than willing to entertain these questions and answer them and answer why I was sort of thinking about it wrong in their mind. But to me, you know, I'm an outsider, like Jennings said, like that was interesting to me.
Right.
Have they already started giving up all of their things to the group?
I mean, I don't know if it has that component. I think like, we didn't find any proof that people were were like, there was no buy-in. And Teal will say there's no buy-in. And that's what makes her, distinguishes her from a cult leader.
Okay.
I think it's that the people do like they leave their lives behind, and you know, like working, helping build a new spirituality brand is maybe more exciting than their 9 to 5s back home.
And do they get any like financial reward for any of the work, or is that all? That's all volunteer stuff,
it
right?
It seems like it might be a little bit variable, but for the most part, it seems like people. Well, we don't know for sure, but there are a lot of volunteers.
So it's a permanent structure in Costa Rica. Like it's not like a thing they throw. It's
no,
not
it used to be a hotel. Yeah, like it used to be this hotel. It was beloved in the community. We talked to neighbors and whatnot. It's a beautiful hotel that existed before, and they bought it. Yeah.
What do the neighbors think?
So they, it's like a small village in Atenas, and they were a little, they didn't know what to make of it. You know, they hear these screams at night.
What are the screams for exactly?
You got to get them out.
Well, that's true.
Working out there.
It's like
channeling
exercises. Okay. Channeling as in like possession.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, possession.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it gets into possession. It goes so many. I mean, I had no idea just how many weird directions it was going to go.
So the neighbors are pretty, like, still dealing with it.
It's also, like, a very Catholic area. Oh. And so they were like, oh, is there witchcraft going on? You know, it had been a beloved hotel where there would be quinceañeras and, like, family parties, and people worked there, and now it's, like, a closed,
yeah, apparently,
you know,
thing. The big doors would always be open. Like, there were no doors, and it was, like, a kind of a open to the community, and then all of a sudden the owners sold it to this spiritual guru, and then the doors closed, and they hear a lot of screams, and they really don't know what to make of it. And so, yeah, we got a translator, and we kind of talked to some other people, and there was apparently some rumors of witchcraft or just not knowing what was going on in there,
right?
Because of course you hear screaming and doors closed. That's where your head goes.
How large is Teal Swan living right now? Like, did you see any of that, or is she hiding how much money she has still?
I don't know. I mean,
not to be pointedly aggressive about it, but normally it's like the Bhagwan, the part of the Bhagwan. I mean, I keep bringing him up because it's kind of the pop culture guru of the moment. But he believed in expressing his wealth, and Jim Jones would hide his wealth, and Shoko Asahara from Shinrikyo poured all of his money into weapons and acid production. So it's like,
this is going back to the like authenticity thing. She's very much like presents herself, and I think is like a regular person. She buys all of her flowy dresses. I forget where she said, like Target or something. Like she's not like blinged out or whatnot. There's this beautiful retreat center in Costa Rica, but you know, we don't know what her actual home looks like, because when we visited her in Utah, for example, we were at a rented Airbnb sort of like mini mansion where she was holding a retreat. So, I mean, I don't know. Do you have a sense, Jennings, of like how much? We don't know how much exactly
she
makes.
She must have some money, right, to be buying this hotel. I just feel like there must be some huge financial backer that we don't know about. Like,
I mean, she bought the retreat. At the time, she was business partners with her then husband, who left his pharmaceutical tech job.
Okay.
They did that endeavor together.
Big pharma money. All right.
I don't know. I mean, we weren't focusing too much on the finances, and they said they're turning, you know, obviously there's reasons they wouldn't go into all that. But,
I have a question about, is there a big name celebrity, which are also important in our culture these days, that's a success story? Does she like tout anyone that's like XXX was able to do this after he or she took my course? Is there anyone like that? Is there a spokesperson other than her?
They're on the bottom of her page. There is a celebrity, like a B. I wasn't familiar. She's on. We can look it up. But she was in Jack Reacher.
Oh, okay.
Whoa!
Wow! Yeah.
Which is not, you know, Smallville level, but
no, because there's more money in TV.
Right.
Once it's Alexia Fast from Jack Reacher.
Oh wow! Yeah. Amazing.
And then
she has, I think, a quote about Teal and. And so she has a few people they've gotten quotes and I guess are willing to put their face, you know, associated with this.
Right.
But there was no, you know, here's TK celebrity to tell you, you know.
Right. Here's James Woods, the world's greatest Twitter celebrity.
That would have
been fantastic. I don't know if the goal is for her to necessarily like cure everyone. Like it's like ongoing emotional trauma work that like presumably you'd have to do for like the rest of your life. Like she doesn't tout this, like she says that if you have these problems that you need to get to the root trauma, and once you do you can like start the healing process, but she doesn't really say come to one workshop and like your life will be perfect and better and like you'll be a different she doesn't say those things. It's sort of nuanced.
So she's doing sort of like the Trump legal team version of stuff where it's just barely cool. Like it's just barely legal what she's doing, because she keeps going like, yeah, but I'm not a real guru, because she's got to do the caveman lawyer thing every once in a while.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, you know, in some ways she framed herself as a therapist.
And has even used that word to refer to herself.
Yeah, and then whenever there came to like any like a level of accountability or anything, she would say, "Oh, I'm just a spiritual healer."
Yeah, yeah, that's always I always love that when people just downgrade themselves to not have to deal with any of the ramifications of their actions.
Well, she says she does sports coaching, and shows her with a tennis racket.
She was a skier at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
Telemark,
but not a tennis player.
I think maybe the tennis comes from one of her managers, I think, used to be a professional tennis coach. So maybe she tapped into that community.
This is where Henry's really starting to doubt her. Got a tennis right, where are the skis? Costa Rica, there's not even any snow. So
if you have a mid-action shot of you with the tennis racket saying sports coaching on it, in my mind, it's been like, oh, so she plays a lot of tennis. So then she shows up and she's like, actually, my manager will teach you how to play tennis. And I just think about our manager, who's a sunburnt man.
Yeah.
And I just imagine him teaching and be like, no, you got to do it like this. Like,
I mean, maybe Pete Sampras is her manager. Who knows? What is going back to Henry's talking about the end game? You kind of hit on that a little bit, Jessica, but what is there any end game whatsoever? Is there any like conclusion, any wrap it up, you know, you're done, you're cured?
For her, I mean, she said she wants to be a celebrity. She wants to go mainstream, and I think that's why she was so open to having journalists come out and you know, document what she's doing. The end game for her followers?
Yeah, that's
she's talked about starting something like she's talked about creating a like 24/7 facility where you could go and have access to like a completion process practitioner. This is her signature therapy method, or other like processes if you like had really like major issues, and these could be emotional issues or cancer or something, which is like she thinks derived from emotional issues. So ooh, like there is an idea, she has this idea she's talked about, like creating this place where you could go 24/7. An island, or am I making that up?
I think at some point, maybe during, that's the thing, she's done so many interviews and so many videos that I think at one point she mentioned like wanting an island or a country.
Okay.
She wants to like,
who doesn't?
Yeah.
Who amongst us would not? Yeah.
But, she's talked about like redoing the prison system and redoing the education system and redoing how we do parenting. I mean, I could see, you know, who knows what kind of influence she'll gain in the future, but like I could see her wanting to like create a new society if she were able to do that in some capacity.
Or
she could just be talking about her ideas, and you know, maybe she's not making moves to do that. I don't know, but
so it's own an island or like a daytime TV show, one of those two things.
Yeah, okay. She said, you know, she wants to be like Oprah or Ellen famous. I think she wants to be kind of like the Oprah of the spirituality world. Okay. Is kind of,
honestly, I mean, it could happen for her as long as she doesn't kill a bunch more people. I will say that when she's got her premium account here, seems to be pretty good with $9.99 a month. That's good and reasonable, keeping it low. You don't go the Scientology route. You go a smaller, more subtle route.
Yeah, and that was not easy to to cancel that subscription.
It is so very, very,
really?
It is very hard to cancel your subscription.
We're finally,
we had to do
some
tricky little searches there.
What do you have to do for our audience, just in case someone's done it as a lark or something?
So the FAQ tells you how to cancel your subscription, but it doesn't seem to apply to the way the website is currently structured. So what you have to do is go to the shop and then manage purchases, and then you can unsubscribe.
All right.
It's a process.
FYI.
It's a process.
It's like trying to get rid of your Facebook.
But yeah, there are a lot of, you know, she has these live workshops, and she has workshops all over the world. She trains people in her completion process so that they can go out and take people through her process, which we go into. I mean, I went through it. We go deeper into that and like the emotional impact it can have on you. So there are a lot of different revenue streams, to say the least.
I don't think she's after being like a billionaire, though. I think she's after, you know, she's after influence and power and prominence more than being like super, super rich.
Right.
That is very interesting. I'm really excited to listen to the rest of the podcast series. You've whet the appetite, and I'm very, very excited. But I guess it really does come down to, it's like anybody can be super popular and famous as long as you don't kill a bunch of people on the way.
Well, I don't know.
You just have
can't really say that she's killed anyone, though, right?
Well, no, I mean, legally, yeah, there's a lot of different things I can get in trouble for saying, but I would say that there's a...
Wow.
But, you know, it's just more of the...
that it's the nudge towards, like if you do a lot of public, hey, maybe you kill yourself, kind of like that kind of stuff, you're going to get yourself in quite a bit of legal trouble.
I imagine. Of course, when your main audience is people who have mental health issues or suffer from depression, and I would assume that suicide might be more common amongst your listenership. How many people, do we have a number on how many folks may have committed suicide? Is there any kind of way to gauge that?
You'll have to. We go into that.
You go into that. Okay.
I mean, we found we were able to kind of go more in depth with a more than one follower who took their life.
Okay, that's great.
And I mean, I am not gonna say there was like a direct connection.
So you spoke with this person before they took their life?
No. Okay.
So one of them was Leslie, who you hear in the first episode. We spoke with her husband and a friend of hers, and then there are other people who have posted on the Teal Tribe Facebook group that they had these intentions or that they were going to, and then because of other posts, we saw that they did actually take their lives, and that's where it's a little more, you know, we can read their posts and make a connection of like, or make. See an idea of how they were maybe influenced by some of her teachings, but like obviously it's not a direct line. It's, you know, she's not holding her hand or whatever.
Convoluted throughout the other viewers and stuff. Interesting. All right. Well, do you have any other questions, Henry?
I mean, I'm excited to listen to the rest of it. I feel like any questions I had would be answered by the show.
Yeah, so I know. I don't want to do. Yeah, no spoilers. That's what we said.
No, this is cool. Thank you very much. This is what I like about this series, too, and about this idea is that it's true, because now there's a lot of people are being educated by the idea of cults, and people are really interested in cults, but then the idea of something like this, that it's like kind of this weird gray area, and I think it's important for people to hear about it so that they can really try to have critical thought about what you're joining.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like decision time at some point for this cult, right? Like, don't they usually, like Jim Jones in the beginning was actually doing a lot of good work. He made a choice to become a horrible human being and Jonestown occurs. I feel like there's still, is it possible that this all ends very well?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So that's good.
Right.
A lot of people would say that it already has negatively influenced a lot of people.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, it's not like a Jonestown, but I think there are, you know, a lot of people say that she's still dangerous and causing damage to people.
All right. The podcast is The Gateway. You got to check out this podcast. I can't wait to listen to it. Jessica Glazer, lead producer of The Gateway. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Jennings Brown, of course, the host of The Gateway. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks for having us. Absolutely.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for the discussions. Great.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. And again, thank you for giving to our Patreon. We love you very much. And, you know, if you do need to seek out mental health, help and all that stuff, there's a bunch of different resources out there. So use them and, take care of yourself because it's a rough time. But this too shall pass. That's what I say.
Thank you.
Live from your grave.
All right, well, that was awesome, man. Great interview, Henry Zebrowski.
This was so much fun. I mean, fun's not the word. And
no,
I should stop saying the word. It's an interesting also is not the word. I would just say it just tickles all of my boxes, which is also a gross thing to say, which I shouldn't
say. Let's go with interesting. Fascinating?
Fascinating. Compelling.
Edutainment.
Yes. But yes, listen to The Gateway.
Yes, check it out.
I will
excited.
Listen to the rest of it as well.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in Portland next week or this weekend.
This weekend. God. Yes. Hail Satan. It's good to see
Hail
you.
Hail yourselves.
Thank
Hail
you
yourselves,
for
everyone.
Your fucking money.